And let us pray. Father God, we thank you for those who have come before us. We thank you for those who have fought for the faith, that we are saved by Christ, by faith in Christ alone, his grace. And Lord, as the Spirit dwells among each of us through that faith, might we see more of what it is today to do the good of the Spirit. Might each of us be motivated by your love, by what we have in you, never adding to our faith, but in living out that faith. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, there was once a room full of corporate employees. The company was devoted to the good of humanity, and all 150 people in that room believed that they were good people. And there was a detective delivering some training on crime, probably one of those corporate tick boxes they have to do every year. And the detective asked them a hypothetical scenario. If you were alone and you noticed a cash register open full of money, and there were no cameras, no one was going to walk in. In fact, you knew you could get away with it and nobody would ever know. Would you take the money? And you could see the boss in the corner ready to take the list of names of people that stood up. But the problem was this. Nearly everyone stood up. Now, when everyone in that room would have said that they were full of love, full of joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, their day-to-day actions proved otherwise. It's easy to say we have the fruit of the Spirit, that we walk by the Spirit. But what does it look like to walk by the Spirit? What does it mean to bear the fruit of the Spirit in our lives? It was summarized in verse 10 of our reading. Have a look at verse 10. If you've closed your Bible, please do reopen that and have a look at chapter 6, verse 10 of Galatians. It says this, "Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers." The family of believers is the church. I'm sure many of us know that. The Bible makes that clear elsewhere. So walking by the Spirit is doing good to all people, but especially to those who belong to the church. And our reading this morning will do three things. It will unpack what doing good looks like. It will tell us why we're failing to do good. And it will tell us how to motivate ourselves to do good. So first, what doing good looks like. Carrying one another's burdens. Have a look with me at verse 1. "Brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. But watch yourselves, or you may also be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ." Did we see what it looks like to carry one another's burdens? It is for those in the Spirit to gently restore a person caught in sin. And notice a few things here. One, the Bible says those who live by the Spirit should restore people caught in the sin. That's everyone who is saved. None of us can say that it is none of our business. Remember Jesus' words to his disciples in Matthew 18? "If your brother or sister sins, go and point out their fault, just between the two of you." There's a place, of course, for church leadership to be involved in some cases. But Jesus says the first step is for those who are sat in the pew to restore one another gently. None of us can rightly say, gently restoring is none of my business. Second, notice the Bible says, restore that person gently. We may all have the responsibility to restore one another, but that doesn't mean we wade into every single person's life, nor does it mean we turn each other's sins into jungle drum gossip. No, those close to us, those in the situation, those who have been sinned against, they have the responsibility to gently restore. I'm part of a friendship with a guy from college. He's a dear friend, and thanks to technology, we can catch up every week. He's a man I feel I can share anything with. And I treasure the feeling that when I'm sinning, he looks to gently restore me. He will gently question, "Lloyd, why do you think that?" He will gently hold up the Bible. "Lloyd, do you think Jesus would think that was what it looks like to walk in the Spirit?" He is gentle because the fruit of the Spirit is gentleness. He doesn't shout, he doesn't condemn. Because did we notice the third thing? We are to watch ourselves, or we may also be tempted. We must watch ourselves because we too are weak and tempted to sin. All people are prone to sin, but we are especially prone to sin when our pride tells us that we are stronger than others. No, says the Bible, restoring a person is a sign of love. It is not a sign that we are stronger than others. Those who live by the Spirit gently restore others who live by the Spirit. Notice the implication there. We all need restoring gently because we are all sinners. So we risk falling into sin when our pride blinds us to our sin. That is why we do not condemn. That is why we restore with meekness. We are all sinners in need of gentle restoration. Isn't that such a refreshing contrast to the world? The world often corrects frequently and harshly. We are only to correct when it's necessary and gently. So all of us are involved in restoring. We restore gently and without condemnation, knowing we too need restoring. And here's the most beautiful, refreshing thing. Did we spot it in verse 2? Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. Notice that we all carry burdens. We all sin. We also all suffer in this fallen world. And the assumption of this verse is that we are not meant to carry those burdens alone. It used to be trendy, I think, to speak of the self-made man. He's strong, resilient, carrying his own burdens alone, solving his own problems. Perhaps these days it's more trendy to speak of influencers, those on YouTube or TikTok who influence others. They're the individuals who have the life hack, the guru you go to but never has anything wrong themselves. They seem to have it all together. They are set apart as special. And yet this verse, verse 2, shows our need for others. I need you, you need me. To quote Sister Sledge, we are family. Isn't that what Jesus offers us? To rest our burdens in him? Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Doesn't the Bible say in 1 Peter 5 that we can cast all our burdens on him because he cares for us? Isn't that what Jesus did at the cross? Did he not take our burden of sin, the sin of the flesh, a burden the law could never relieve? And did he not crucify the flesh so the burden of sin was broken? Jesus, who walked by the Spirit, loved us by carrying our burdens to Calvary. He loved us and he called us friends. Human friendship, in which we bear one another's burdens, is part of the purpose for the people of God. That is why the Bible can say that carrying each other's burdens fulfills the law of Christ. The law was a burden. It only condemned. It only shouted harshly. Yet love lifted this burden. Did Jesus not say, "A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another." The law of Moses motivated by fear. It said, "Cursed is anyone who does not uphold the words of the law by carrying it out." But the law of Christ motivates by the command to love. Carrying one another's burdens fulfills the law of Christ for which he died on a cross. Now, that doesn't mean burden carrying needs to always be some act of great sacrifice. No, we carry one another's burdens in everyday acts of kindness. And that isn't limited to restoring gently. We carry the burdens created by the fallen world, meeting need, lifting spirits, encouraging in Jesus. I had the privilege of visiting someone this week who is carrying a burden caused by the fall, not their own sin. And I always try to ask in those scenarios, is there anything I can do? And they said, no. This person is doing that. This person is doing that. And they proceeded to list several people in our church. It was amazing to see brothers and sisters carrying one another's burdens. But what was more amazing was this. I know from the names of the people who are carrying the burdens that they too have their own burdens. People who with every feeling could say, I've got too many of my own burdens to worry about to be able to help you. And I know others are carrying their burdens. That just blows me away. The love of our church family here that you have for one another in carrying each other's burdens. I hear countless stories of unseen burden carrying. People who at cost to themselves offer acts of kindness, never being publicly seen or praised, meeting need, lifting spirits, encouraging in Jesus, because that is what Jesus has done for them. Being a burden bearer is a great ministry, and it's something that every Christian can do. Whose burdens are you carrying? Who is carrying your burdens? Is it those in your growth group, those in your prayer triplets, those close people you meet with? Or do you feel alone, overwhelmed by burdens you cannot carry and feel you have no one to lift? Keep praying to God to lift them. Find a growth group. Kindle a friendship at church. Find someone whose burdens you are willing to carry and who is willing to carry yours. That is what it looks like to do good to all, especially the household of believers. It is to carry one another's burdens. But what stops us carrying one another's burdens? Well, second, while we fail to do good, we see others as better than ourselves. We see ourselves rather better than others. Have a look at verse 3. If anyone thinks they are something when they are not, they deceive themselves. Pride prevents us carrying one another's burdens. Pride is the barrier to love. In the world of sport, there is perhaps one king of pride, Zlatan Ibrahimovic, a footballer you may know. And when asked what he was getting his wife for her birthday, he said, nothing, she has Zlatan. And when asked who will win the World Cup playoff, he replied, only God knows. The reporter said, it's kind of hard to ask him. To which Zlatan replied, why? You are looking at him now. He was quite serious when he said it too. But we don't have to have Zlatan level of pride to prevent us carrying one another's burdens. Pride is simply the preferring of oneself to others. He inwardly cries with the Pharisee, God, I thank you that I'm not like other people. It is when we foolishly forget that we are all sinners saved by grace. Anyone who has pride deceives himself. That is exactly where the Galatians had ended up. They had been deceived into thinking they kept the law. Yet none of us keep the law. We are all sinners. And so if comparing ourselves with others leads to pride, the remedy to pride is self-examination. Have a look at verse 4. Each one should test their own actions. Then they can take pride in themselves alone without comparing themselves to someone else. For each one should carry their own load. When we compare ourselves to others, we mistakenly see ourselves as strong and the glory of our strength in us. When we self-examine ourselves and we see ourselves as weak and the glory of our strength is in Christ. Why we fail to carry one another's burdens is pride. The remedy is knowing what we are in Christ. Sinners, saved not by our own law-keeping, but by his carrying our burden. And that's what verse 5 meant, by carrying our own burden. Paul is no longer using burden to mean one another's loads. Rather, he now means the one burden which cannot be carried by anyone other than yourself, the judgment of Christ. We will all face judgment for our own actions, not the actions of others. And therefore, realizing the burden of the punishment our sin deserved was too great to carry by any man except Jesus Christ. And so we humble ourselves under his grace, confident that the burden of our punishment was paid when he suffered the wrath of God on a cross for our sin. If anyone thinks he is something, then he knows not the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Pride and sin both remove us from the path which leads to eternal life through faith in Christ Jesus. Now, I think all of that is summed up in Cain's attitude to Abel. Remember Cain who killed his brother, and God asked him where he was, and he said, "Am I my brother's keeper?" If we are walking by the Spirit, I am my brother's keeper. In this way, the law of Christ is fulfilled. So we are to carry one another's burdens by being humble in Christ. And yet that is so incredibly difficult. So what motivates us to see ourselves as humble? Well, thirdly, the motivation to do good, we reap eternal life. Have a look at verse 7. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Our pride may be strong enough to deceive ourselves, but we cannot deceive God. He knows us so well that he went to the cross for us. Do you think that Jesus would have suffered the extremity of the cross if he had any doubts that we needed him to die for us? No, God knows all things. And even for those of us that don't know all things, people's sin becomes evident as they reap what they sow. Notice that it's sowers, not reapers, who decide what is reaped. That sounds like common sense. You cannot sow pride and expect to reap righteousness. Have a look at verse 8. Whoever sows to please their flesh, from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. He who indulges in pride and sows to please the flesh will reap destruction. Destruction which comes from pleasing the flesh, they sow a harvest of judgment. Remember what Jesus said in Matthew 25 to those who refuse to carry one another's burdens? They will go away to eternal punishment, into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. But he who lives to please the Holy Spirit, they will reap the benefit of eternal life. Those who carry each other's burdens, to whom Jesus said in Matthew 25, the righteous will go to eternal life. We sow well by seeing ourselves for who we truly are, by walking with the Spirit, by carrying one another's burdens. Our motivation? The eternal life we shall reap. And that is the motivation that is needed. I was chatting to some farmers recently, asking them what they thought about Clarkson's Farm, a show where Jeremy Clarkson tries to prove that farming is easy. And I had expected them to hate it, saying that it gives farming a bad name. But they said it was the best farming program they had ever seen, far better than Country File, because it showed what hard work farming really was. Farming is hard work. We have to wait patiently, working hard, sowing diligently, reaping only at the proper time. Because like a farmer, we have to wait for God to bring the harvest. That's why verse 9 is such a comfort. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. We will all feel weary of doing good at times, when we feel our burdens are too heavy, when we receive little thanks, when we feel that others have a smoother ride in life than us. But we must not fail to do good, because those who do not fail will gain the harvest. If a man puts no limits on his works for God, God will put none on his reward. Is it not impatient children that want the harvest now? Let us be sowers of good, carrying each other's burdens, gently restoring one another from sin, seeing ourselves as sinners, walking alongside other sinners, walking in love and friendship, knowing that the hard work we do in sowing goodness will reap the harvest of eternal life through faith in Christ. Let me pray for us all. Father God, praise be to Jesus, the burden carrier, whose death died our death, whose punishment paid our punishment, whose humility is our example to follow, whose love inspires us to love, and whose pouring out of his life gave us his Spirit, whom we can walk in step with in love. Help us, each one of us this morning. Help us to not walk away from the faith we have in Jesus. Help us to know that we are sinners, not good people. People who do good, yes, but people who sin. And that might drive us to cling to the cross of Jesus Christ, who died to bear the punishment for us, knowing that only those who have faith in his death will bring us to eternal life. And because we have the Spirit for our believing in him, might we walk in step with the Spirit, doing good, not to win your heaven, not to win your love, not to look good in front of others, but doing good because that is the result of those whom you have saved by your death on the cross. I pray for those carrying burdens that you might give them others who can lift those burdens. I pray that each one of us would be motivated to lift the burden of others and that we might reap the eternal life given to us in Christ Jesus because of his death. In your name, amen.